there, ladies. This is Sue Mills. And can you believe we are on the last week of our study of the Sermon on the Mount? You know, this study has so many layers of feelings for me. Oh, there's conviction, things I had not seen before, warnings, consequences, encouragement, hope. How about you? Are you feeling the same way? Well, in this portion, we have come to the part of the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus is causing the crowd who have been there listening intently to make a choice between two paths. There are only two options, the broad path, which leads to destruction, and the narrow path that leads straight into the arms of Jesus. You know, life is filled with choices, decisions. It's also been called a fork in the road. Now, the Bible speaks about these forks in the road. In the Old Testament, we see several examples. I'm only going to take two of those. In Joshua 24:15, he calls the people to choose between the one true God and the false gods of the Amorites. Joshua asks, "Who are you going to serve?" And he goes on to say, "You people have a choice, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." In Deuteronomy 30:19, and I just love this, it says, "I have set before you life and death, blessing and a curse." There's that fork in the road. But then he goes on to say this, "Choose life so that you and your descendants may live. Love the Lord your God, obey him, and remain faithful to him, for he is your life." This scripture here in Deuteronomy so goes along with Jesus' conclusion with the Sermon on the Mount, because they both demand what? They demand a response, don't they? You see, being neutral isn't an option. Sitting on the fence, it won't work. Two paths, two gates stand before us, and the one you choose has huge consequences. In Matthew 7:13, Jesus says, "Enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and its gate is wide for the many who choose that way." Now, in both of these texts, in Deuteronomy and in Matthew, the people are given a choice to choose the world's way or God's way. But in God's merciful and loving way, he tells them which one to choose. In Deuteronomy, he says, "Choose life." And in Matthew, Jesus says, "Enter through the narrow gate because it leads to eternal life." You see, it's not like the TV show, Let's Make a Deal, where there are two doors and you have to choose not knowing what is behind door number one or door number two. Do you get that brand new car or do you get a pair of roller skates? No, Jesus says you have two choices and he says, "Choose life, enter the narrow gate." Now, as we've studied this week, the wide way or the narrow way, in my mind's eye, I pictured two gates. The broad gate I pictured as big and wide, with dazzling lights like you see in Times Square, with all the beautiful people and latest and greatest products that the world guarantees will bring you happiness. People everywhere, having fun, laughing, anything goes. It's all things attractive. Ideologically, it is not narrow in its thinking. It is open-minded. Morally, it is not restrictive in its behavior, and it has few rules. Anything goes, and it looks so enticing. Now, the narrow gate, in my mind's eye, is in a pasture. It's a well-worn picket gate, and on it, as you approach, you see drops of blood. The blood of the person who loves you more than any other person ever. Jesus said in John 10:9, "Yes, I am the gate. Those who come through me will be saved. They will come and go freely and find good pasture." Jesus is crystal clear in his teaching. The way to God is exclusive and restrictive. There is only one way, one road that leads to him. Now, ladies, is this an easy road? No, in many ways it is not. It is narrow. There are rocks you can trip on. Slippery. There's winding roads where you cannot see in front of you. There will be persecution, doubt, loneliness, sickness, and grief. But listen, here's the good news also on this road. It's joy unspeakable, happiness, freedom, hope, love, comfort, and it ends in eternal bliss. When I was young, I was going to marry my boyfriend, and he was living in Hawaii at the time, and I had rededicated my life to the Lord. We had been writing letters back and forth, that's what you did back then, and I thought he was on the same page as me. I flew out to Hawaii to see him with all the hope and excitement, honestly thinking my dreams were about to come true. After only a couple of days, I soon realized we were not on the same page, and I booked my ticket home that day. As I was getting on the plane, heartbroken, sitting in my seat, looking out the window, the song, so clearly, came into my mind. The song is this: I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. Jesus sent comfort as I chose to forsake my dreams to follow him. You see, we are on a narrow road, but ladies, listen to this. Never, no, never, no, never are we alone. Not one second. Psalms 32:8 says this: I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Verse 10 said, many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounded the one who trusts in him. Wow. As I sat on that plane as a 20-year-old girl, I may not have known it or realized it completely then, but truly, as the Spirit sang to me, I was surrounded by the Lord's unfailing love for me. It is something I will never forget. But here is something I've been pondering. Yes, the wide gate, it looks glamorous. It looks like they get blessed by sinning and everything just goes right with them. And they are free and they have no conviction. And in our study, we read about it in Psalm 73 as Asaph observes the wicked. Listen to the opening of this psalm and see how he's feeling. It's just so raw and personal. Truly, God is good to Israel, to those whose hearts are pure. But as for me, I came so close to the edge of the cliff. My feet were slipping and almost gone, for I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness. They seem to live such a painless life. Their bodies are so healthy and strong. And then you drop down to verse 17, and oh, I love this. It says, then one day I went into your sanctuary, O God. And as he was in the sanctuary, the Lord started to minister to him, and he could see from God's perspective, because it says in verse 21, then I realized how bitter I had become, how pained I had been by all I had seen. You know, there's been times in my life when I have been grieving or sorrowful or very anxious about something. And as I walked into church, and as I would sit there with my church family, worship in song, and hearing the word, the Lord would minister to me, and I would begin to put things into perspective. There is nothing God cannot do, and he is aware, and he is working. Now, maybe my circumstances hadn't changed, but I did, as I walked out of that church, feeling like Asaph, when he said in verse 23, yet I still belong to you. You are holding my right hand. Oh, lady, such comfort, such a renewed perspective. But here's the thing. We can look at those ones who are on the wide path and begin to envy their lives. And we can get caught up thinking, here I am trying to live a life pleasing to God. And my life seems to be constantly a struggle every day. And yet these people, they don't care about God. And it seems like everything goes just right for them. And you know, sin is pleasurable for a season. But the wide road also has heartache, sorrow, death, health issues, fear, anxiety, hopelessness, loneliness. But what they don't have on this broad path is the comfort, the peace, the hope that only comes from Christ. They do not have the God of all comfort, the God of hope, walking alongside them. Now on this narrow road, there's going to be lots of forks in the road, and we have choices daily to follow Christ or to follow our heart. Oh, there's distractions on this road constantly. So keeping our eyes on Jesus daily is just so important. Ladies, know your God. Learn about him as you are doing in your small group. Make time to spend in God's word learning about the one who loves you so. Because as we see in verse 15, Jesus warns very strongly, Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep. Beware, or be on your guard against false prophets. This word, beware, is in the present imperative, and it means to pay attention, be on alert, keep your spiritual guard up. The devil and his false prophets are working against you. Again, ladies, know your God. There are many false teachings out there. If you hear things said or watch some people do, go to God. Ask for wisdom. Go to His Word, our life manual. See if it measures up to what the Word of God says. Look at their lies. Is there good fruit or bad coming from their lives? What is the message they're speaking? Is it lifting up self, or are they lifting up the Lord? Now, in the Old Testament and New, repeatedly addresses the danger of false teachers. Jesus addresses it again in Matthew 24. Also, Paul, as he is church planting, right after that comes false teaching, and Paul warns the people in 2 Timothy, 2 Corinthians, and in Acts. Peter warns in 2 Peter. John will do it in 1 and 2 John. Why are there so many warnings? Because we are deceived. Some of these false teachers start out with truth, and then they slip in false teaching. I have heard it explained this way: the skin of the truth stuffed with a lie. So how do we guard against this? Again, I'm going to say it for the third time. Know your God. Stay so close, asking for wisdom, hiding God's word in your heart, praying for discernment. He will answer you. Now in verses 21 through 23, we see another choice, choosing between genuine confession of the one who is obedient to Christ and the false profession of the disobedient. Listen to this quote from Daniel Aiken. To think I could say, Jesus is my Lord, and hear him respond to me, I never knew you, is frightening. To think I should preach and even do miracles in his name and have him say to me on that day of judgment, depart from me, you lawbreakers. Well, that's horrifying. And you know what, ladies, I agree. I would have loved to have seen the look on the people's faces when Jesus said that. Also, they were sitting there and he was addressing himself as Lord. What Jesus wants us to understand is that we can profess Christ as Lord without knowing Christ as Lord. It is possible to profess Christ as Lord and for Jesus to say, nope, depart from me, I never knew you. What is the test of a true profession of faith? Here it is, ladies, a transformed and obedient life that reveals true faith. Jesus said in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, and yet you do not do what I say? Jesus said in John, if you love me, obey my commandments. Obedience is evidence that a profession of Christ is true. Jesus said, anyone who listens to my teaching and obeys me is wise, like a person who builds his house on solid rock. Anyone who hears my teaching and ignores it is foolish, like a person who builds his house on the sand. Because when the storms come, and they will, we have to have that firm foundation of loving and obeying Christ in order to withstand the storm. The last two verses in this chapter just really stirred my heart as I was studying. Verse 28 of chapter 7 says this, after Jesus finished speaking, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught as one who had real authority, quite unlike the teachers of the religious law. The word for amazed in the expanded translation is struck with astonishment. Now listen to this, to the point of the loss of self-control by his teachings. So after Jesus finishes speaking, and they're just not saying, wow, that was a great message, so different than what I thought, so good, so thought-provoking. No, no. It tells us they were so astonished, they lost their minds. I can just see them jumping up and down and saying, every word Jesus spoke was mind-blowing. Never, ever have we heard one speak with such authority. Did you hear it? He called himself Lord, and he also called himself Judge. Who talks with such great authority as this man? Mind-blowing. Ladies, that same God who spoke to the crowds speaks to us through his word. That alone, if we really ponder it, should blow our minds. And he tells us here, choose life. Enter the narrow gate. It won't be easy. Stay alert. Listen to my voice and obey me. Don't give up, because I am with you every step of the way. Keep your eyes on me. If there are any listening to this and you don't know this Jesus, today is the day, and I would like to pray for you. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your concern with every detail of our lives. And Lord, there isn't a person that's listening that hasn't come to a fork in the road. And if there is some there that doesn't know which one to choose, I pray right now that you would just move in her heart by the power of your Holy Spirit, and she would choose you, the narrow gate, and walk through there knowing that she has forgiveness of her sins and she has eternal life. Oh, Jesus, speak to her right now and bless her. And from this day forward, her life is changed. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.